Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. A new exhibition at the Lowe Art Museum focuses on the subject of institutional racism throughout U.S. history. One of the pieces that shows this is a 30-foot sculpture of a black hoodie, a symbol made famous after the Trayvon Martin shooting. The exhibition also includes a video piece where young people shared their experiences about race. Here's Landon Coles. He's a sophomore at the University of Miami.
When we say privilege, that does not mean that your life has necessarily been devoid of hardship. But what we are saying is that your skin tone is not among the hardships that you have had to endure. That is what we mean by white privilege. And so, yes, white people can have hard lives, but your skin tone is not among the things that makes your life hard.
I recently sat down with the exhibition's lead artist, Billy Grace Lynn. She's also a professor of sculpture at the University of Miami. She talked to us about how the idea came to be and what she hopes visitors will take from the exhibition. I began by asking her, as a predominantly white woman, how she approaches creating pieces focused on race and people of color.
I've spent 2 years working on this exhibition, and this came up really early on as a problem in the work, because what right does a white woman have to make a really huge hoodie, for example? And so I really struggled with that, and actually I'm still struggling with it. But I decided that the problem that the hoodie represents is because white people have created it. And so it's up to white people to dismantle it. And so it's with that intention that I'm trying to work with that image as a way to be an ally and as a way to address my own internalized racism.
Let's talk about the hoodie, as the project. This is a massive project when a person is standing in front of it, and you can go into it. But just describe it real quickly.
So the hoodie is basically 30 feet tall. It's sewn from multiple layers of screening. And when it's in the museum, it's hung now in the Lowe, it's larger than the walls and the ceiling can contain it. So that means the hoodie is compressed by these white institutional walls as a way to have a metaphor for the way the constrictions of institutionalized and structural racism. And so that's why it's so large. When you're within the hoodie, visitors are invited to go inside the hoodie and sit there. And the weird thing is when you're inside, you have the feeling that you're not visible from the outside. But it makes you invisible, but simultaneously makes you a target.
You know, and of course, the hoodie is the symbol that was made famous in the Trayvon Martin shooting.
Yes.
For you, what were those influences in your life that helped shape the way you approach this particular exhibit?
So I was raised in Alexandria, and that place is where the film 12 Years a Slave takes place. And one of the 150 black men were lynched there in the 1920s. So it's a place that is extremely racist. And I remember as a child when the schools were desegregated. And I was told by my mother that I would see black children at my school and that I didn't have to play with them. And so it was a very strange thing. We were led in that first day of school, and we were told not to look behind us. And so all the white students were seated in the front of the classroom. And then the black students who had come to integrate the school were seated in a row along the back and were told not to say anything. And so I spent my early childhood years in this very awkward, strange environment where we couldn't look at the black children and certainly couldn't play with them. And then we self-segregated on the schoolyard. And so I knew this was wrong. I knew that it was weird, but I couldn't put my finger on what it was, because when you're raised in that kind of racism as a child, you incorporate that into your mental positioning of the world, and it becomes normalized to a certain extent. But I was primarily raised and given comfort and love by a Black woman who was hired to take care of me. And I loved her. But when I went to school, when I went to first grade, for example, she disappeared. I was just taken to school, and I said, am I not, you know, going to see her any longer? And they said, we're not going to need her anymore because you're in school now. But I was never given an opportunity to say goodbye, and I never saw her again. So this was very painful. So I knew that there was something really wrong with basically an apartheid system.
Come back, though, to what was the impetus for this exhibit?
Ferguson happened, and I started talking with my students at UM about racism. And they told me that racism was something from my generation and that they didn't feel that way any longer. And I'm like, what? And one of my African-American students stayed after class, and she said, you know, that's not true. She said, every time I leave a store, my bags are searched, and I'm followed regularly in department stores. And I couldn't believe that because I've never experienced that as a white person of privilege. I remembered seeing Black people stopped in department stores, but here's the racist thing. I assumed they had been shoplifting, and that's why they had been stopped. It never occurred to me that this was a regular practice. You see what happened? So we're seeing and experiencing different things, but we're understanding them differently.
Well, it's just what you said a second ago that kind of just caught me off guard, that you had students who would say to you, oh, there's no racism, there's no
problem.
Well,
this was before Trayvon Martin and Ferguson and the whole Charlottesville thing. So this is the complexity that I'm trying to get at. People don't understand actually what racism really is. So it's really easy to point at a KKK member and say, that's definitely a racist, or this is definitely a bigot. But we find it, especially white people, find it very difficult to see our own internalized racism because it's so normalized that it's invisible. And so that's what I'm trying to get at with this exhibition is how these racism and racist ideologies are structural, and they're built into our school systems. The way we teach the history of the Civil War or Jim Crow.
I'm speaking with Billy Grace Lynn. She's the lead artist and creator of the exhibition, A House Divided. It's on display now at the Lowe Art Museum at the University of Miami, where Billy is also an associate professor of sculpture. The exhibition looks at the problem of racial injustice in the U.S., and you can find photos on our social media at WLRN Sundial. There's a video component as well. Can you explain that one to me, please?
Yeah. So over the last year, I've been interviewing people of color and Black people, but also Muslim students and Jewish students and white students at UM and deliberately ask them about their experiences of race or racism and have had them just talk with me. Sometimes the interviews went on for many hours, and then I had to cut it down. I'm a big fan of editing now, but very difficult. But I managed to derive 3.5 hours of tape. So the whole video component of this piece lasts 3.5 hours. So most people will not hear everything. But what was amazing to me is I learned so much from these young people. What stood out for me really the most was the incredible pain that they endure almost on a daily basis.
You had one of your students shared a story, right?
Yes. That's how, you know, I started this, was when the student told me about being followed in a department store. All the stories are really impactful, and I'm continuing the story. So my plan is to go to Louisiana after the hurricane season to interview primarily white people, because I feel like it's very easy to talk about the pain and discrimination that Black people have undergone. So because it's easy to film that, it's easy to interview about that. But it's very difficult to find white people who are willing to talk about their own racism.
I wanted to get a sense, too. There's another part of this exhibit that's really fascinating, is that people can share their stories at the exhibition. They can write.
Right.
You know, tell me a little bit about that. Where did that idea come from?
So the muse, my really terrible, awful muse. About 2 weeks before the show opened, I had the obelisk, which is another component of the exhibition, and the hoodie finished and ready to go. And then I realized that I didn't have enough of a connection between those two pieces. And it occurred to me that I needed to trace the history of the United States visually somehow. And so I decided that I would hand draw a timeline starting with 1619, when the first ship arrived on 1619, with 20 Africans who were then traded for food, and they became enslaved. And that will be exactly 400 years ago in August.
Wow.
Because that was in 1619. And so you can look at the whole trajectory of the history of the United States as basically an attempt to control people's bodies who were considered other or lesser. And even to this day, that's what's going on in Homestead and at the border, is trying to make other people who are brown, air quotes, lesser or other, so that we can continue with white domination of the power structures of this country. That's what it's really about. And so there have been laws put into place, like the 13th and 14th Amendment, that try to address these problems and create equality, only to be pushed down by the Black Codes or Jim Crow. And so it's a timeline of an attempt to gain our values and the best of our American project here of democracy, and how low we sink when we fail our better angels.
And you mentioned the other part of this exhibit, too, is the obelisk. First, start by describing the material you use, because it's not marble, it's not granite, it's not, you know, that clean, smooth surface that we're used to. There's something different about this. Tell us about it.
I think from childhood I've been fascinated by the Washington Monument, because it is really an amazing thing, and how it would look. And so I decided that I wanted to make a sculpture that was a falling Washington Monument. And so the obelisk I made is 18 feet tall, and it's mirrored, and it's put on two sets of bearings that rotate so that it's eccentric in its rotation. So basically it can stand straight up, and then it can swipe the floor as it rotates 360 degrees. Unfortunately, the museum is not large enough for its full rotation, because it would have to be more than 36 feet wide. So I've had to weight it a little more heavily on the bottom so it stays a little more up. But it's dangerous. And so the museum, Jill Dupuy is the director of the Lowe Museum, and she has given me permission to do all this stuff. And I've noticed she no longer has fingernails, because this thing is like twirling around us. And it's troubling. It's falling. It's when you're close to it, it reflects you optically. When you are just as you remove yourself, you become more and more distorted. It's a metaphor for what happens. What's happening to us right now? We're at a.
You know, the exhibit, as I said, is called A House Divided. This is referring to an Abraham Lincoln speech. Why do you want to use that one?
Race is being used politically, and actually has always been used politically, to divide people, because it keeps the power structure in place. And it's complicated, and yet it's really simple. If you want to keep people down and keep people oppressed, then you make enemies of them, and you make divisions between them. If we all came together, and I'm including myself as an ally, this power dynamic, white power, wouldn't be able to continue in the way that it's acting now.
That was my conversation with Billy Grace Lynch. He's the lead artist and creator of the exhibition A House Divided. It's on display now at the Lowe Art Museum at the University of Miami. The exhibition looks at the problem of racial injustice in the U.S., and you can find photos on your social media at WLRN Sundial.